tonight, message prepared, all set. Get up this morning, seek the Lord, and get ready for this service. And I could not be released to preach what I felt, started something else, and ended up going the direction that God was dealing with me all along. Hallelujah. A good report makes the bones fat, but sometimes the Word of God tells us and uses us to preach things that breaks the bones so they can be what they ought to be and prepare us unto every good work. Scripture talks about vessels of honor. Vessels of honor fit for the king's use. And then there are vessels of dishonor that are not worthy of his use. We all want to be a vessel of honor. Psalm 64, I would like you to pay particular attention to the beginning. David is praying for deliverance here from his enemies. The man of God, a great man of God, a wonderful child of God, is praying for deliverance from his enemies. And he says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, "Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whet their tongue like a sword, and bend their bows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly they do shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privily. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded. So they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away. And all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. For they shall wisely consider his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I'm preaching to the flock this morning on the subject, the reward of the wicked. The reward of the wicked. Would you bow in prayer? Lord Jesus, we thank you and praise you for the privilege to even hear your word, to be called out of darkness into this marvelous light, that we would show forth the praises of you that has done this to us. Lord, we praise you for every visitor and guest that's come this morning. We pray, Lord, that every soul would walk out of here with victory, their calling and their election sure, prayed up, packed up, ready to go up in the rapture, the coming of the Lord. We pray today that the outpouring of the Holy Ghost would be met in every hungry heart searching for you. Baptize us with your glory and presence. We ask for your help in every word that is spoken this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody say, praise the Lord. You may be seated. God bless you. The reward of the wicked. Now the preface opens up the 64th Psalm to the chief musician. That's one of the greatest leaderships in any area of the church that there is people that are used in worship unto God. People that are used in singing praises unto the Lord. People that are used in trios and duets, and singing solos, and singing in a choir. Music and worship, choirs, song leading, the praising of God amongst the people of God. That is one of the most beautiful and highest callings there is. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. How many are breathing out there? Hallelujah. I've got breath to praise the Lord. That's my joy. That's my privilege. And it's one of the greatest opportunities of a lifetime. While people take the name of the Lord our God in vain and blow smoke in one another's faces, and they do all kinds of horrible atrocities and vices of this world, it's so good to gather with the redeemed, to gather with the blood washed, to gather with the called out, chosen ones, and to magnify the name of the Lord together. How many love this thing? How many were excited to come to God's house? I love to come to His house. I love to be with His people. I love to worship the Lord. I love to sing. I love to clap my hands. I love to lift my arms towards heaven. It's such a joy and a privilege to worship the Lord. He called me and He washed me. Hallelujah. And the thing that makes the Pentecostal experience so beautiful is when there is apostolic worship. And then you mix that with apostolic singing, good singing, quartets and trios and choirs. And then you mix it with apostolic preaching. Hallelujah. Those three components make such a beautiful, beautiful gathering of God's people. And I might shock some of you right now, but if I had the choice of a vocation in the church and leadership in the house of God, it would not be preaching. That would not be my choice. It would be singing and worship. Hallelujah. I love to sing and to worship God. And this is quite a calling here that David brings out. He said, to the chief musician. To the chief musician. A psalm of David. After all of the preface of a service, the praising and the prayer in the prayer room, the worship and the praise, the singing of the choir, every bit of it is to bring our heart and our spirits into harmony with the mind of the Spirit. It's to get rid of chafe and schisms. It's to put things under the blood. It's to wake us up, hallelujah, to get in tune with the mind of the Lord and to break up the fallow ground and prepare the soil for the incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God. And so I love to glorify God in song. Many years, God allowed me, and I was asked to be a song leader in Bible school in the First Pentecostal Church. Brother Haney asked me to lead songs, and Brother Renison was the song leader there for many, many years, and he still is. But I was used on different nights and even Sunday night to be the song leader of the church. I did not take that calling as a light calling. I was being asked to lead the entire congregation of the called out ones into worship and praise. And I would prepare my heart and prepare my spirit and pray over my songs and go to the prayer room so I didn't come up with anything in my heart or mind or spirit that would take away from a freedom and a worship unto God. I wanted to be fresh in the pulpit so I would not hinder God's people in any way. I believe that song leading and the worshipers on the platform are 50% of a church service. It's very, very important. The condition of your heart, the attitude and motive of your spirit, and what you bring into the tabernacle when you begin to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Can I hear someone say amen? Amen. Lord, create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. And David dedicated this psalm to the chief musician. My point is, if you have an ability and a talent to sing and to play an instrument and to worship God, you need to be here and on the platform glorifying the name of the Lord. If you have the Holy Ghost baptized in Jesus' name, praise God, you're living for the Lord. You need to be up here worshiping God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your strength. Would you say, praise the Lord? But at the same time, realize the solemnness, the sanctity, the sacredness that there is in leading and worship and praise unto the Lord. The Scripture says, sing unto the Lord a new song. Enter into His gates with singing and into His courts with praise. Use the talent God's given you to glorify God to the best of your ability. That's not my message this morning, but it was the preface of the psalm. And we read here 11 verses, or 10 verses, in the 64th psalm of David that speaks about, from this man after God's own heart, the cruelness and the craftiness of his enemies. David had many enemies. Hallelujah. And any time a preacher will stand for righteousness and take a stand and set a standard, anytime you reprove, anytime you rebuke and exhort with long-suffering and doctrine, you will find that enemies will come along the way here or there. And there is a conflict and there is a combat that David is bringing out of his heart that's deep within his soul, and he cries it out. I have learned in the process of time that in pastoring almost 10 years now of my life, I have learned that there is a conflict and a crisis that is always there when you're fighting against the devil. We are all fighting the devil this morning. The Scripture says, be not ignorant of his devices. He has devices set and planned to trap every one of you today and try to shake your faith and destroy you, if not by the world, if not by the flesh, by the devil in his fiery darts and his accusations. Any manifestation or trick that he can use to deceive you, he said he's going to try to do it. And that's why Jude wrote in his epistle, we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. Now, I know the average Joe Blow in this day and age likes to come in and say, well, I want to come into the house of God and to have my ears tickled. I want to hear something good. Lift me up. Exalt the Lord Jesus. Let me go home feeling good. But that does not have to do with the total spectrum of preaching the gospel. Earnestly contending for the faith is not an easy thing. You're talking about a battle. You're talking about a struggle when you earnestly contend for the faith. Because what happens when you earnestly contend for the faith that was delivered to the church, you will get into conflict with those that are not earnestly contending for the faith. And that's where the battle is. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. This is a battle unto death. You cannot avoid conflict if you are a called child of God. A lot of people don't like conflict. A lot of people want to avoid conflict. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. I have always considered myself to be a peacemaker and one that loves to make peace and get along with people. But I'll tell you what, when you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to be in a conflict with people. You are going to be in a conflict with the devil for the reason that people will compromise away from the faith that the Lord delivered to the church. People will give themselves to avoidance of the things that are truth and required of them, and then people will be not involved in the church of the living God. And those that are not involved are usually those that are the easiest to backslide. They are usually those that are the most non-emotional about anything in the church, and they are usually the greatest critics because they are not involved. Hallelujah. I said it the other night, and I'll say it again. What makes a church great, praise the Lord, is not who all comes to the church, but it's people that see a need in the church and fulfill it. Look at a need, see it's there, and take care of it. Use yourself. Spend and be spent of the gospel when everybody in the church is putting forth an effort, when everybody in the church is giving their all, when everybody in the church is worshiping God with everything in them, hallelujah, and coming to the house of God with joy and gladness. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful atmosphere that is. But for almost 11 years now, I have been in the push of my life in pastoring, pushing for growth, reaching for revival, hallelujah, in prayer, in fasting, big ideas, plans, hallelujah, a desire for righteousness and a desire for good things to happen. But when you push and you prime and you reach for the high calling of God, you'll find out that constantly, constantly, there's not a day of rest, Brother Gray. There's always a battle. The moment you think you've got one thing whipped, there's another one over here. The moment you take care of a diphtheria, there's a polio. You take care of the polio, there's a cancer. You take care of cancer, there's a muscular dystrophy. It's the same way in the church. You take care of one problem, there's a constant attack from the enemy. There's deflating attempts to revival and growth. The enemy comes in like a flood and says, what's the use? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just realize it's not worth it? Why don't you realize that there's more problems than's worth dealing with? But then I look to the Word of God and I recognize I'm a part of the greatest calling, the greatest experience, the most wonderful group of people on the planet Earth. There's no hope out in that world today, and that world's going down, and evil seducers are waxing worse and worse. The hope of the church today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's in His church. He's ordained it for greatness. He's predestinated His church for total victory. I'm glad He asked me to be in His church. I don't ever want to take it for granted. Would you say, praise the Lord? This great man, David, his entire life was spent in conflict. Try to make a nice, smooth story about it, but you'll hardly ever read a psalm where David did not mention his enemies and the problem of people that came against him. It's in the book. David fought the pressures of people that came against his leadership. If you're going to push revival in the end time, I am convinced the greatest conflict of all time is being pushed against the church. It's being attacked in the political arenas, the governmental agencies. In every way that you look at it, the devil is trying to put conflict upon the church and destroy its profundity in the end time. He's always trying to hurt the name of the church. But take heart today. Take heart. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. We are earnestly contending today for the faith. It's good to be in the house of God. The Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is always so good to show us the fruit of the land and give us many rewards. Many times when we don't expect it, He is such a good God. Would you say, praise the Lord? The first verse says, hear my cry, hear my voice, O God, hear my voice. David is coming to the Lord in prayer. That's the key to your life. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Make it known unto God in prayer. He comes, hallelujah, and cries out. This wonderful man of God, Moses, brought the nation of Israel right to the brink of victory. And there they were, mountains on every side. And there was a great sea in front of them. And here comes their old nemesis, their enemy coming after them. And Moses looks and says to God, what am I supposed to do? And the Lord God of heaven said, Moses, why criest thou unto me? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's what we understand the church is today. It's a supernatural body of God's people. We all come to dead-end streets and problems that can overwhelm the individual and the saint of God. And when you get to that point, you say, God, there's a mountain here and a mountain there and a wall here and my enemy's about to overtake me. What do I do? Cry unto the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Audibilize it. Let God know where you're at. All creation mountain, the rocks, the trees, the wind, the animal world, they audibilize the glory of God. Hallelujah. The birds sing out in El Cajon. I wake up this morning and I hear the beautiful birds, Brother Cray. The birds, I listen to them as about 4:30 this morning. They were chirping loud and clear. The beautiful birds praising God. The dogs bark. We got a bunch of them in our neighborhood and you can hear the dogs bark. It's their way of expressing glory to God. Go out here a few miles to the ocean and the waves will crash and the foamy surf will rise up and it's beautiful to behold, but it's nature saying all glory to God. The Lord is in charge of my life. The quasars flash in outer space and God gave us little muscles in here that vibrate together with air passing over them. They're called vocal cords. And today I will say of the Lord. It's a beautiful thing when you give your loved one a special gift. Women have a way of expressing things for the husband that's just phenomenal. You buy your wife a nice gift, buy her flowers. A woman sometimes will squeal, just squeal with delight. They have a way of saying things and expressing it. And you know, you feel so good. I went by a flower shed yesterday, driving by, my wife and I, and Brother Sanders, I said, look, that woman is out there every night on that same corner. What in the world is she doing out there on that corner every night? She must have a good business. My wife said, well, a lot of men get stuck in traffic, and they think about their wives, and they stop and buy flowers and take it home to their wife. And she said, you know, that's a good idea once in a while. Hallelujah. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So we learn things as we live in life. All the men say, amen. Hear my voice, O God. Hear my prayer. Preserve my life from fear. The Lord Jesus Christ does not want His church living in fear this morning. I don't care what your problem is. He doesn't want you under that problem in fear. The Word of God has much to say about fear. It says, the fearful and the unbelieving are the people that are going to the lake of fire. The fearful and the unbelieving. It says that the fear of things coming upon the earth are what destroy men in this day that we live in. The fear of things coming upon the earth. It says just prior to the coming of the Lord that men's hearts would fail them for fear. And we look at the fears that people have. You can have a fear of not making enough money, or a fear of not having enough left over when you retire, or a fear of things to torment you, to keep you from your potential in God. It's an unrighteous motion. Fear is an agnostic attitude. But the Bible says this, The fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the ending. It is the beginning of wisdom. Not fear things, not fear circumstances, not fear your enemy, not fear trepidation and problems, but fear the Lord. That's where true wisdom is. Fear causes stress. Fear causes heartache. Fear causes high blood pressure. Fear causes ulcer. But seek the Lord God as David. David said, hear my voice. Hear my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemy. And he was able to have confidence in his life because he believed God would preserve him from the fear that tried to overwhelm him from the enemies in their life. Verse number 2 says, hide me, hide me. He's praying now. He's taking it to God. Hide me from the secret counsel. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. I remember in Bible school, I don't tell this very often, so you're lucky today. But in Bible school, I had just got to Bible school, and they were putting all these heavy rules on us. I mean, it was a shock to me. In fact, Bible school is nursery school anymore compared to the one I went to. I went back and spoke in the school as alumni president. They got a mamby-pamby college now. I went to boot camp in Bible school. We got there and they shut the lights off at 11 o'clock at night. No excuses. You're in bed. Shut up. Lights out. You're up at 6 a.m. Everybody up. You got in the shower. If you were the sixth person, you got a cold shower. You had to be there quick. Be one of the first ones out of 100 young men to get a shower. I had to clean oatmeal every morning. And just to tell you, without going into a lot of details, there was a lot of roughness to it. I mean, we had to have quiet hours in the afternoon, go lay down and shut up and not move. It was rules of the school. Quiet hours in the afternoon, then they would let us get up. I mean, I was 20 years old, and they'd tell me to lay down and take a nap in the afternoon or study my Bible. But that was Bible school. Couldn't go out but one date per year. One date per year. Did you hear that? And two married, or a married couple with me on the date. I'm a brand new buck kid from St. Paul, Minnesota. I don't like it. I can't stand it, all these rules. And I did go out on an illegal date with some girl when I got to Bible school. And I didn't do anything wrong. Just went out with another couple. We went out and got a hamburger. It was a wrong date, but it was against the school rules. Enough to put me out of school. That same night, another couple went out on a date that was illegal, and those girls came back at 3 o'clock in the morning to the Bible school dorm and got caught coming in at 3 a.m. in the morning on an illegal date. And they had these perfusions all over their neck, if you know what I'm talking about, that had a little story to tell about what they were doing. And when they were caught and asked about what all these red marks were all over their neck, they said, well, this came from a young man named James Larson, and I was called in the office. I never touched those girls, never got near those girls, but I was called in, and they were hiding and covering up somebody else, and they put the blame on me because they knew I was out on an illegal date. I was almost kicked out of Bible school the first month I was there. I almost had my ministry ruined and my name ruined right there. And I was absolutely innocent. I went to the prayer room. I asked Brother John Smelter to pray with me. I cried out to God. I said, my God, Lord, I didn't do this. I know I did go on a date, but I didn't do this. I didn't do that to these girls. They've lied about me. God have mercy. This is how David felt. David said, he said, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked and the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. And when it all came out, those girls were kicked out of school, and they're gone, and they're not living for God. And it's been a sad story in their life. But let me tell you this morning. David is praying for victory from his enemies. Nobody here today, sitting in the sound of my voice, if I asked you your true feelings about yourself, you wouldn't say you're wicked. Nobody here thinks you're wicked today. Oh, Brother Larson, you know, I've been naughty before. I have failed. I have fallen short, but I'm not wicked. That's how we think. Nobody here is wicked today. Nobody's that bad. Hear me. One sin can make you wicked. One sin can make you wicked. We visualize wicked people as loathsome, low, ungodly, despicable, 3 days' growth of beard, bloodshot eyes, liquor breath, using the name of God in vain, nicotine nails, breathing out their sin, walking the street. We think that's what a wicked person is. Now, that's a wicked person. That's how we visualize him. Wait a moment this morning. Sunday morning in the house of God, do you know that someone very, very wicked may be sitting right next to you? Someone ungodly wicked. Let me tell you what this Bible says. When anybody plots, when anybody talks in secret, the Bible says, to conspire, to consult, or to counsel in their ways, to destroy anybody else in the body of Christ and bring disorder or disunity to the church body, you are a wicked person. You might not look at it that way, but God looks at it that way. You are an enemy of God when you injure His body in any way, when you bring disunity to it, when you bring dishonor or discord to the kingdom of God that's trying to have unity and trying to have revival. You are being used by the devil as his servant to bring dishonor to the body of Christ. And I think all of you agree. You are logical people this morning. You're educated, ladies and gentlemen and brothers and sisters. Anything that harms the sheep, anything that destroys your children, anything that destroys your home, anything that hurts revival, anything that ruins the ministry, anything that would warp the progress of God's church is wicked. Oh, let's say praise the Lord. David's praying, Lord, circumvent this council. Like a halfback that has a football and he tries to get around a bevy of tacklers. Lord, circumvent those that are trying to knock me down. Circumvent those that are trying to destroy me. He's praying here. Those that are in secret counsel, hidden counsel. I don't even know about it, God. But they have their bad feelings. They've got their bitternesses. They've got their hypocrisy. They've been doing their sin and going into their dark doors. They've been watching their movies. They've been going their way of immorality. They've been doing their things in the flesh, hiding in the secret. And then they attack the church of the living God. Listen, secret counsel is always and every time going to be manifested in the open. Secret sins are going to be brought out. Let me tell you this morning, God's Word will not be mocked. It tells us, be sure your sin will find you out. Sometimes it takes a matter of months and sometimes even years. But Brother Gray, I don't know how this thing works except it's of God. Even the most intricate secrets seem to come to a pastor over the process of time. God will give you a dream. God will let you walk in on a conversation. God lets you come into something you don't even expect and you find out things you wish you didn't know. Mark it down. Mark it down in the body of Christ today. It's important to hear God's Word. I love everybody today. I love your soul. Mark it down. Plotting, conspiring, taking counsel against your brother and your sister to destroy them. Time will bring you out. Time will show you for what you are. After plotting with someone else comes agreement. After agreement comes what the Scripture says is insurrection. People get together and say, all right, you know this and you know that. Now we're ready to make our move. And that which is done in secret will come out in the open. And it will come out like a cancer in the body. This never fails to show forth. Do you know what the Word of God tells us that insurrection is? The word insurrection means rebellion. And God said He hates rebellion above everything else. Oh, somebody say, praise the Lord. Lucifer was in heaven. The two most predominated and most beautiful activities in all history, heaven and Eden. God made them both. They were in perfect harmony. They were in absolute bliss. They were in total enjoyment of those that were in the activity of that arena. But what happened to the perfect heaven? And what happened to the perfect Eden? It was because of rebellion. In both of those places, they went to a place of total perfection, to abhorration. God had to take one by the name of Lucifer and knock him out of heaven as lightning falling out of the sky. And He took with Him many of those that covered God's throne with praise and worship because there was insurrection and rebellion in their heart. Look at the secret council of Absalom and Ahithophel. It came out and destroyed an insurrection against David. Look at Korah and Dathan. Look at Miriam and Aaron. Look at the disease. Look at the judgment. Look at the destruction of flesh. Look at the death that came because of an evil report and the slandering of God's body. Do you know this very moment there could be a virus in your body right now? Unseen, unheard, unfelt, but 72 hours from now, 3 days from now, you could be in a bed, coughing, hacking, wheezing, fervent temperature out of control. What happened to you? Nausea, vomiting. When did you get sick? Right now.
But 3 days later is when it showed up. It came in unseen as a virus, hitting the white blood cells, causing a fever. That's how it is. God is not mocked in His body. He loves His church. It's wonderful. It's wonderful when a church can conquer in the body anybody that's out of joint, malicious, that is not living for God, that lives for gossip or criticism or tearing down the structure of the church. It's just wonderful to come to God's house and be happy to be in the body of Christ and exalt the Lordship of Jesus and say, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. Verse 3, who wet their tongue like a sword. Now, this is the Word of God. It's in the book. We're to preach the Word. And He said, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot their arrows. Listen to me. You ever been in a barber shop? Watch that fella get ready to shave somebody. He takes that strap out. He's wetting the razor, getting it ready to give a close shave. You ever watch somebody like a Boy Scout? We have a wonderful Boy Scout group in this church, Pack 238. A Boy Scout will take a stone and he'll hone that stone and he'll work that stone until he gets that blade razor sharp. My father was a construction man and he used to have this grinding stone in our basement when I was a boy. You'd flip on a switch and the stone would come whirling around, and you just put anything on there that was metal, it would sharpen it very quickly, take all the skin off your hand if you touched it, the power stone grinding. I can imagine what David is saying here. Those who wet their tongue like a sword, it's like the person who would take the grinding stone and turn on the electricity and it's whizzing in a circle, and they put their tongue down on it. And then they turn their face and they get the other side of the tongue down on it until they get the tongue right to a sharp point. Can you imagine that? This is the example that David is giving to us, that there are those who use their tongue as a weapon to cut, to wound, to slander, to stab a reputation, to kill an honor, to ruin a ministry, to destroy a future, to injure a marriage. Next time you hear someone cutting apart a minister or cutting apart anybody in the body of Christ and tearing them down without facts in their hand, let me say to you, look at them and understand the Bible calls them wicked. You could be sitting by someone very wicked this morning who have prepared their arrows of bitterness and animosity and jealousy and strife and hurl their sarcasm at others to put deep wound and reproach in their life. You all know that this is truth this morning and that all of us need to have a clean heart and a right spirit. Because he said, David's praying, he said, Lord, that they might shoot at in secret, verse 4, they might shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly, they shoot at him and they fear not. Now, David didn't consider himself to be perfect, and neither do you. And God knows, and you know already, that I'm not perfect. We all know, hallelujah, that none of us are perfect here this morning. David wasn't calling himself perfect. Could you say amen? But hear me. If I was absolutely perfect, if I did not have a fault, if I was completely shielded from the world, holy, pure, sanctified, if I was absolutely the epitome of consistency, error-free, on time, likable, if I was Mr. Perfect, you would find me riddled full of arrows. Because of the wicked that try to destroy the most holy and perfect one that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. The picture of Him with no sin was they butchered His body on a cross and condemned Him to death when they had nothing but false accusers. Would you say amen? Verse 4, they shoot in secret and suddenly. Nobody knows about it. Nobody sees it coming. Nobody has a chance to defend themselves. You see a boxer and a man strikes a blow. He sees it coming, tries to lift up an arm to stop the blow. But when you don't see a blow coming, someone hides behind a corner with an axe. No chance to prepare, no defense, no chance to save yourself. That's done by someone that's very, very wicked. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning. I really don't. I don't know. But I know that the Holy Ghost put this so strong on me and so deep in me that God wanted to probe our hearts and our spirits this morning. Brother G.T. Haywood used to take a man in his church with him when he would go on a trip. He would take him with him that was trying to destroy him. He was a man in his church that was handling another department of the church, and he literally despised G.T. Haywood and was trying to destroy him. They asked G.T. Haywood one day, "Why in the world do you take this man on trips with you? You know he hates your guts." He said, "So he's with me, I can watch him." Hallelujah. So if I invite you to go with me on a trip, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 5, he said, they meet privately. They encourage evil among one another. They encourage evil among one another. It's in a Psalm of David, a man of God, that this was destroyed over and over by enemies to try to injure the work of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something this morning. The greatest discouragement in the whole world, can I be a preacher today, is not the devil. It is not what the government's doing. It's not the forces of hell out there. They'll never defeat the church. It is internal subversion that gets into the hearts of people that get hard-hearted, and you cannot reach them with 100 elephants because they are full of wicked venom. 1,000,000 miles from God. Verse 5, they learn benefits of cooperation. They lay a snare. They camouflage it all. Hallelujah to God. Remember this. Remember this morning. Everything in our lives and in our world today is open and naked before the eyes of Almighty God. This morning He's probing the service, and He knows every heart. He knows every spirit. He knows every motive. Oh God, search me today. Create in me a clean heart. If I am a wicked servant, Lord, cleanse me from it. God, if I have become unlawful, a law to myself, God, help me, Lord, to see the trap that I have set myself in. People that became wicked insurrectionists set a trap for Joseph. And they had it looking so good, it looked like he was down to the pits. But Joseph, in the end, because he kept his integrity with God, the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me say this today. The devil is an accuser of the brother. If you find yourself in the congregation this morning and people spread smut about you and things about your name and try to destroy you with talk, let me tell you something. Draw closer to the Lord. Draw near to the Lord. Exalt His name. Humble yourself under His mighty hand. Ask God to wash you and cleanse you of everything that's unlike Him. David couldn't even see the trap. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but I've learned something." Joseph said, "I've learned something. I see it all now. God meant it for good." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, when people try to accomplish a diligent search, verse 6, search out other people's lives and look for iniquities to destroy them. God said in verse 7, He will shoot at them, and suddenly they will be wounded. So shall they make their own tongue, when there is a Haman. Haman does not destroy a Mordecai. The noose that he prepares for Mordecai goes around his neck. He stews in his own juice. It's God's kingdom. It's God's plan. And he said, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear. and shall declare the work of God, for they shall wisely consider His doing. I say to you today, hallelujah, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. I want to be a peacemaker. I want to build up people. I want to encourage people. I don't want to tear down one person in the church today. I don't want to hurt one soul. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. God have mercy upon me if I offend one of the little ones. It would be better for me to hang a millstone around my neck and drown in the sea. I feel the probing sense of the Holy Ghost dealing with people this morning to get things out of your heart and cleanse your spirit to forgive as you stand praying. Oh God, help us to understand how important this is. I will never forget. We're standing this morning in closing. I will never forget a policeman in Indianapolis a few years ago. A policeman went in to take care of a rapist on a call, and he went in to get that fella, and that rapist turned on that policeman, got him behind the neck and bludgeoned him to death. And then he ran to an elevator and he tried to get out of the building and he got stuck on the elevator. And the police got up and found their comrade who had been bludgeoned to death and the woman who had been killed and raped. And my friend, when that elevator got down to the bottom, there was a bunch of policemen with billy clubs. A bunch of policemen that had lost control because a man had wetted his tongue and destroyed a good, godly police officer and an innocent victim. That's how it is in the spirit world this morning. All of us need to fear and tremble at the Word of God. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Lord, renew in me a right spirit. I might sit and pat myself on the back and be a very wicked person. Help me, Lord God, to draw near to You. Search out my life. If I've talked about someone, if I've damaged their reputation, take my words back, Lord. Forgive me. Help me to say something nice about them. Help me to build them up. If I'm holding the grudge, Lord, get it out of my heart. If I'm feeling a steam coming out of my ear at someone else, I don't know who I'm preaching to. I'm probing this morning. I'm allowing God to do a work. But Lord, whatever it takes, give me a sensitive heart. Give me a God consciousness. Give me a desire to be humble under the hand of God, to love my brother. For how can I love God whom I have not seen, if I cannot love my brother whom I have seen? God have mercy. There might be things here today that are attached to years ago. There may be things here today that are attached to mistakes long ago. There may be things attached here today that people have got into it with each other a long time ago. It happens. The devil's work is to do this. You know what everyone needs to do in this service this morning, every last one of us? Forgive, forget, and start brand new this morning. We need to start brand new. If you hold a grudge towards someone, don't you dare leave without seeking them out and asking forgiveness and saying, listen, I love you. I love you. Forgive me. Even if you aren't the one that was doing the wrong. If you've been wrong, if you haven't been wrong, whatever it is, if you know there's a problem, if you know there's a situation, take it to your brother. Make your gift presentable to God by making restitution with your brother or your sister. Services like this and messages like this, God ordains at times for us to make sure that we make it in heaven. God have mercy today. I want to go all the way with God. And I want to stand right with my brothers and sisters. I want us to sing this morning. And I want us all to respond to the Holy Ghost. Respond to Almighty God as He would direct us as we sing it this morning. In Jesus' name, let's come before the Lord. Let's kneel before His presence. If you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you can receive it this morning. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in Jesus' name. God will fill you with the Holy Ghost. My heart. Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you, Lord. I'm crying out as David. Create me a clean heart. Make me what I ought to be. Search me and see if I regard iniquity. Lord, give me a spirit of forgiveness that you had on Calvary. Oh, sir.